back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This, once again, is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth, as always, is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. And Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, depository service. We're always actively involved in buying and selling all forms of rare coins and precious metals, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds, and building investment portfolios. However, these, my friends, are some very interesting times. I will tell you, at this point in time, this has been absolutely unique to anything I've ever experienced. Sorry for the noise. I'm moving a cord around that was improperly, I don't know what. Anyway, this is the most unique time I've ever seen. I have seen a few other instances where metals became highly scarce and never quite like this. I don't even know where to begin. My head is spinning. Boy, the metals prices have been just bonkers, bizarre. Why? There is everyone sort of running on one bad leg. The markets are officially, well, unofficially, officially down. They're not open. They're running on futures, we call them, which is basically people betting on what precious metals are going to do down the road. This, as you may have noticed, unless you're completely blind and detached, the stock market has gone completely bonkers and berserk. It is just tanking and tanking and tanking. These folks, I was listening this weekend. Yeah, I'm bouncing around a little bit because I don't even know where to go. I don't want to overdwell on one little thing or another, but I'm telling you, this weekend I was listening to this Steve Hilton, who's a kind of a British speaking fella and brilliant economist, and just the global financial impact of this is immeasurable, and it's so large, it's so tremendous, it's so massive. This is not going to be an easy recovery. Donald Trump says we're going to see a rebound like you've never seen before. The media just harangues this guy to death. They're saying, you know, he's not honest about how bad it is. And it's like, are you kidding me? What do you want him to say? You're all going to die? You know, run, hide, crawl under a rock. You're all going to die. Well, I've got some liberal friends that are frankly driving me nuts. I'm starting to just see such a spirit of division, disparagement, destruction, hurtfulness, and vitriol and anger and hatred. My Lord, this is a sick, sad thing. Folks, this, I don't know what this is, okay? I know that the coronavirus, and we're going to get back to what I started on Friday, the whole history and the genesis of it, which is really interesting and severely significant. The timing is just ironic, isn't it? I mean, you know, what kind of a coincidence is this? It's this, my friends, is an attempt to take Donald Trump out. And you think, oh my goodness, Kevin, a conspiracy that big? It doesn't have to be a conspiracy. It's got to be a universal hatred for a guy that our media, the most powerful voice in the history of the world, okay? Our modern day media, the most powerful voice ever, ever in the history of the world, has done nothing but feed false, fake news, as Donald Trump puts it, lies, false accusations of every sort, just an absolute disrespect for his position, for him as a person. Some of the stuff I was reading today, you can't even believe. I kind of wish I'd have left it on my phone. It was unbelievable. Maybe I did accidentally leave one of these pages open. Let me check here. Ugh, darn it. I wished I did. It was terrible. I mean, it was absolutely terrible how bad they hate this guy. I mean, the names that they string out there were just unbelievable. It was just, you know, they were calling him, oh my gosh, every name in the book. I don't, you know, from racist and bigot and, you know, lying, you know, white supremacist. And I don't even know them all because they don't make sense. But this was in one article from some, you know, I'm trying to scan here. I don't really want to do it right now. But just never, ever heard of before. And now you've got armies, okay? And now you've got this pro-immigrant thing that's absolutely lost its marbles. What do I mean by that? You have, okay, we had this country built for years and years and years and decades and centuries primarily on Judeo-Christian European nations. So we would argue over things like Protestant and Catholic, you know, and granted we had the Irish, you know, fighting the Italians, and we've had some tough times in this country. I know about all that. We had the Civil War, which was unbelievable. You know, we slaughtered each other terribly over, you know, just this same kind of stuff. That was a liberal versus conservative war. The problem is liberalism at the time, really, arguably, liberalism was the North. I mean, if you want to think that, Abraham Lincoln was a liberal. I mean, really, nothing compared to now. Abraham Lincoln, you know, they glorify him. He'd have been a radical right-winging nut job, crazy fruitcake, you know, Trump-type guy. They would have slaughtered him, ripped him up one side down the other, you know, as bad as they have. The South was very constitutionalist. People always think the big argument there was over slavery. It was not. The Emancipation Proclamation had been drawn up. There was already acts in Congress that were emancipating the slaves. They were trying to work out a certain particulars on commerce and business. And, you know, and it was all underway. Our founders knew it was wrong. That's why they had life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, not life, liberty, and the ownership of property. You read the Federalist Papers, they discuss that very thing. The fact that a black man's rights or a brown man's rights were every bit equal to anyone's rights. Slavery was wrong. Slavery was something that, you know, we get held responsible for, and we have people, you know, wanting reparations and all this stuff. But, you know, slavery was something that has continued, I don't know why, but against the black population and against many other populations for millennia. We, technically, as a nation, we stopped it. We shattered it. And we get no credit. You know, and the thing to me, folks, is if there's anything right, if there's anything perfect, if there's anything good, as the Bible says, think upon these things. You know, and we are, I mean, we have gotten where it's, but, you know, we have lost all personal responsibility. We can blame everything on somebody else, and that's okay. I mean, in our mentality, it is. We think it is. We say it is. It's obviously okay in our minds. During a time like this, we cannot even unify. And I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you that the cost of this little virus issue is tremendous. It is absolutely tremendous. Let me see something here. I'm going to look up a guy. Let's see. Corona shutdowns. And then we've got, you know, the big argument. We've got the media attacking Trump for calling it the China virus. You know, like Chinese food's racist term. It's a China virus. We've never been, you know, attacked for calling something the Spanish flu or the German measles or, you know, West Nile virus, or, you know, whatever else, where it originates. In this case, we have a tremendous propaganda attempt coming out against us from China, that the Chinese are actually dictating to us, to our government, to our media, and our, you know, that they're dictating to us how to report. They're teaching us propaganda. And they're teaching us how to spin everything. Everything is Trump. Shut him down. He's a bad guy. You know, blah, blah, blah. You get the picture. And it's so destructive and divisive. And I'm definitely not a big fan of it at all. I do not like it. It's sad for me. It's starting to get really frustrating. I'm starting to see vitriol come. I mean, if people think literally Trump is God and he controls all this, and they, you know, they don't like his personality, they don't like the way he deals with stuff. I mean, we should sort of look at our president as we would our father. Now, I watched a movie the other night. It was really, really good. It was kind of an indie movie, and it was about a guy who, you know, showed up and rented an apartment from some lady and her daughter. And, you know, they found out he'd been in prison. But he was real low-key. He was a hard worker. And something bad happened. They didn't know much about him. And something bad happened to the girl, real bad. And all of a sudden, you know, he rose up and secretly. And took care of business. And he turned out to be very well trained and very capable of taking care of business, if you know what I mean. And at one point, he was sitting with the girl after he'd taken care of business, and she was complaining about her father, who had also been in prison and was leaving her mother for another woman. Which is bad. But like what he said to her is, he said, you know, there's a lot of things that we don't like in people. And there's a lot of things that we can't ever change. But he said, that does not mean that they don't care. And to me, that just stood out so strong. We have so many kids that look at their parents and say, oh, this is wrong, and that's wrong, and this wrong, and that's wrong. Of course it is. You have a vulnerable vantage point when you're looking at your parents, because you're, you know, they're exposed. They're fully exposed. Trump's fully exposed. Trump's a father figure in our nation. We have to look past his weaknesses, and we have to support him as we would a father. And if you look at your father, and you, you know, short of really disgusting abuse or something, in which case, you know, just I'll go all the way there. The physical sexual abuse stuff I've seen, folks, that's blackball stuff. I'm sorry. That's just done for life. I'm sorry your father did that to you. I know of situations where people have super dysfunctionally tried to rebuild that. And it's a sick thing, okay? So we're eliminating that. But just the humanity of it. The fact that they made mistakes, that they, you know, they don't know what to do. And, you know, they're caught in the middle of a windstorm. You never know what forms them, who they are, etc. It doesn't matter. You give them the benefit of the doubt. You love them. That's the point of love, isn't it? Isn't that exactly the point of love? Love is not, you know, Jesus said, So what if you love those who love you? He said, love your enemies. That's when you really prove you're my disciple. Definitely a translate or a paraphrase there, but close. You know, and so what if you love those who love you, who meet all your needs? And I'll tell you, politically, no one's ever going to meet your needs. It's interesting that it's so hard to agree when we're voting. I talk to all these people, and I think Christians are the worst. Well, I don't agree with him on everything, and I have this one little tiny issue, so I'm not going to vote at all. And yet, you know, Lucifer himself could be standing on the opposing podium. They don't care, because they're going to nitpick this guy to death. But we can hate, You know, when we've got someone we oppose, we can hate with our whole soul. But then when it comes to supporting, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, that's not what it's about. We need to be praying for the man, lifting up the man. God chose this man for this office at this time. The name Trump is not an accident, folks. This is seriously important timing in this nation. God is allowing all this stuff to go down. I can't tell you why. I can't tell you what it's all about. But I can tell you that it is the ultimate test. It is a refinement on this nation. Our heart has become so pathetic and so lackadaisical and so lethargic, I should say apathetic, towards anything spiritual. We're ashamed. We have pastors that won't even speak the truth. I've checked out churches and, you know, we go to ours and I'm just like, seriously? I mean, yeah, the feel-good services, they're awesome. Love them. But, you know, let's get down to the nitty-gritty sometimes. You know, there's a time that we've got to let people know sin is sin, wrong is wrong, but mostly right is right. How to do right, how to respect your elders, respect authority. And so, where we're at as a nation is we have what's called consensus thinking or confirmation bias, and that's where everybody gets on social media and they just dogpile on somebody and they just trash talk and they start to dump all their anger and all their resentment on a person. Well, the problem is Jesus said it's not what you put into yourself, it's not what a man puts into himself, but what comes out of his mouth that defiles him. He also says that what comes out of your mouth shows you your heart, okay? If you're speaking trash and vitriol and filth about somebody like that, you have a heart problem, number one. Number two, if you continue to do it, that's the defilement part. When you speak trash, your heart is changing. It will change. You can build a hatred. You can build vitriol. You can build. And if you speak positive and you speak, you know, thank you, God, for protecting me during this time with your angels. Thank you that you will not let me fall. You will not let a bone be broken. You will not let me get an illness, that I'm covered by your angels. Thank you that you've sent your angels to protect my children. That activates God. I mean, you might disagree with me there, but you know what? God is a person. He has a personality. Praise works. Doesn't he say, praise him, exalt him? What does David say over and over in Psalms? I will exalt you, I praise you, I lift you up. He's giving God honor for every single thing he's done. He's God, for goodness sakes. If we praise and worship and activate, can you imagine his angels? You know, it says he's given his angels charge over you, and you're like, oh no, I'm probably going to get this coronavirus, and I'm going to probably die. I got to stay home, and my kids are going to get sick, and man, I hope my kids don't get on drugs and when they're in college, and they probably will, you know, my luck. And do you think their angels come swooping down and go, wow, let's go help? I just don't picture it. You say, Lord, thank you for healing me. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace and your blessings. You know, I was reading last night, I think in Proverbs 22, that, you know, essentially the fear of the Lord results in all kinds of good things, we'll say. You know, riches, honor, and life. And my wife and I were reading that. I love that scripture. I mean, I love Proverbs, obviously, in a big, bad way, in a big, big, huge, bad way. It's amazing to me. But it's all positive. It's all, you know, and it isn't name it and claim it, but it is. It's speak it. The power of our speech is phenomenal. And the power of our thought life is phenomenal. And we need to absolutely lean that way. As much as we can, and we'll see. And I'm not saying that I don't struggle with it. We all get caught up in down times. You know, Ephesians 4:29, you know, let no unwholesome talk or uncorrupting, depends on the version, come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up or edification, in the scripture that I use, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So don't let corrupting talk. What is corrupting? It's like rust. It wears things down and wears things out. Everyone, he says to you, Matthew 5:22, but I say to you, everyone who's angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, or raka, they say in Greek, which is a foul type of a curse, will be liable to the hell of fire. And then there's a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisper or backstabber separates close friends. The heart of the wise makes his speech, and I'm just reading like Proverbs 16 now, judicious. Oh, the heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. So this is one of the complaints with Trump. They're like, this guy's harsh. You know, he's not that persuasive. Well, he's got some persuasion because he made it to president. But you know what? We can be that way about him. God chose him. He's got the skills, you know. I mean, can you have it all? People are like, but if he was more diplomatic, and articulate, folks, we'd have a lot more than an amazing president. We'd probably have the next, you know, world leader in a tyrannical way. I mean, he'd be able to influence anybody. I don't know. I'm just saying he is who he is, and we got to accept him the way he is. And what I'm saying is we've got to support him. We've got to look for good. Start to look for good. Pay attention. Get your news from sources that are positive. Do not go. I mean, when I talk to these people that are listening to like CNN and stuff, it is just the way they speak about the president. I cringe. It's just one hateful statement after the other. And they're like, well, we don't have to go over all of his comments because you know how bad they are. I was watching this garbage last week, and he never does anything right, you know, and you can tell. It bothers me. This is the United States of America, the greatest country in the history of the world. At its peak point in strength, economically, you know, and every, you know, geopolitically, militarily, even culturally, we have the hugest impact. And yeah, the other countries, I've been around the world, maybe not as much as some, but enough to have been exposed to all types. And I'm telling you, these other countries, they don't like Trump. Well, I wouldn't either, probably, if I was in one of these weak socialistic nations that basically lived off of the back of America. When America shuts down for something like this, folks, it is a big deal. It is putting the pinch on the globe. You need to realize the cost of this is astounding. As I said earlier, it is literally astounding. Unbelievable. To the tune, they say, as much as $5 trillion per week. Yes, I said that. $5 trillion stuff. So it's they say that we've never seen a self-imposed shutdown like this of every type of business, and every one of them losing incredible revenue, not a slight reduction or even a steep reduction like in a normal recession, but all of it gone. No income, nothing, potentially for months. Folks, this is the worst absolute attack on the globe through propaganda that we've ever endured. This is the product of what happens when the fourth estate, the media, is now conducting a tyrannical coup or takeover of the globe. This is what's happening. We are being overrun by the media with their political belief group, behind it, foolishly following it, just eating the food, the trail of crumbs, as we literally destroy the globe. Why? Because we hate Trump. I mean, I know that makes no sense, but that's their unifying factor. Look at today, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Now, do I agree, I mean, that we need these trillion, this is the third round of a trillion plus dollar stimulus package? Well, when I'm explaining what's going on here, yeah, unfortunately, we do need something like that. Unfortunately, we do. So Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, and the minority leader, Schumer, you know, they basically shot the whole thing down over what? All this garbage, you know, that we want Donald Trump to stop his lawsuit against the Obamacare, against the Affordable Care Act, and to reinstate it, and to force 14 more states to implement Medicare, Medicaid. Like, really? I mean, this stuff, does it ever end? No. It's true politicization. And the biggest game is when they take stuff so far to the left, to the radical, bouncing off the walls, socialistic nut craziness, then their game is like, well, you do it. You did it to the right, you know, and you just, I hope, folks, you don't tolerate that junk out of your kids. You know, the old two wrongs don't make a right. Your mom used to always tell you, well, that, you know, and first of all, it's not the same. It's not equal. I'm biased. Yeah. But I mean, just the, you know, I have friends that are liberals and they're like, well, you know, it's just the optics and I don't see the relevance. You know, Dan Bongino was, who's the ex-head of Special Forces and the Secret Service over the Clinton administration and White House stuff. He came out and was just fuming about how the media is just gobbling up all this Chinese propaganda against the fact that they released the virus and that they're covering up numbers and lying and they're blaming it on our own military, the U.S. military and all this junk. And then, of course, the left-wing media goes crazy over the weekend and they say it's racist. He's a racist and he's just all this crazy stuff. So I asked a liberal friend of mine, I said, how is this statement of him racist? I mean, just I said, I really want to know because I can't see it. And he texts back and he said, well, it's irrelevant. It's not racist. It's irrelevant. What relevance is it that he's talking about? Well, if you're not getting your news from appropriate source, of course, I sent him a link to Epic Times and explained to him, you know, or just showed him that all the propaganda that's coming down, serious stuff. But if you're getting your news from, you know, the China News Network, CNN, you're not going to have a clue what's even going on. They literally just pollute the airwaves with hate and vitriol, and they block out the truth. They would rather be against Trump and for China, folks. China is such a threat to this country, you can't even imagine it. So anyway, we got all these businesses shutting down. Not a slight reduction, not even a steep reduction like in a recession, but like I said, no income, nothing, potentially for months. So we're told that unless we change course, the best case is the worst recession since the Second World War. It'll be worse than that. The moderate scenario is that it is on par with the Great Depression. The worst case scenario, where the shutdown continues for months and months, is even worse than the Great Depression. Worse. Way worse. They keep talking about this V-shaped curve, a dramatic fall, and this quick bounce back. Maybe. But if the V is as deep as the Grand Canyon, that's one hell of a climb out, I would say. So on Sunday, the Senate failed to advance the latest coronavirus relief package, so negotiations are going to continue on what looks like a $2 trillion stimulus plan. So let's look at that plan and remind ourselves what this is all about. Men and women across America who've risked everything, worked every hour to follow their dreams and build a business, local businesses that are not just economic units, but the lifeblood of a community. Folks, small businesses make up the mass of this country. I will condemn Trump a little on his tax cuts. As a business owner, mine went up. Small business. If I was a great big C-corp like Amazon, they had tax slashes you would not believe. Now, should they be paying those high taxes anyway? Absolutely not. But should I? Heck no. This stuff's just crazy. It's Trump. He favored his own. There is a definite bias there. And I am offended by it. But frankly, you know, so be it. So we've got most of the people in Congress and the talking heads on TV have never started a business, don't understand business. They've never worked in a business. They've never employed a person. You get crazy nuts like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. Are you kidding? It's like you look at Bernie Sanders and he looks like, what is his name? Ichabod Geezer, whatever the name. I mean, he just looks like a freak. That can you imagine that as the president of the United States? It's just like, I don't believe in this, and you guys are nasty, and he just lectures everybody. And then you got Elizabeth Warren like, well, yeah, I'll make a program that will turn every car in America into a spaceship. And you can fly to any planet you want or whatever, you know, they want her to say at the moment. She's just full of baloney, absolute lies. They people like it. I want a spaceship. I want my car to be a spaceship. I want all my student loans paid off. I want my mortgage paid off. I want my car paid off. I want free gas in my car. I want free food on the table. You know, who cares who's going to pay for it, because it's not possible. But this is how we've gotten to think. Socialism appeals to our ignorance first and our self-centeredness second and our greed first, I guess, if that's really good math. So none of these people have started businesses. I personally have, and I do. So what I'm, I guess my perspective as someone who's, you know, run the policy and at the heart of big businesses and large banks and all that stuff and small businesses, I think I've got some pretty good insight. It's not just the coronavirus that's killing people. This total economic shutdown is going to kill people. And I don't want to, I'll try to scan through this a little quicker. But President Trump, I think, gets this. He understands business. He loves entrepreneurs. He loves America's small businesses and farmers and all the workers who rely on them for a living to support their families. So this economic curve we're about to take a deep nosedive on, it's not just about money. It's about the heart and soul of this nation. In the days ahead, we have to make sure that the congressional stimulus package doesn't miss the target. Schumer and Pelosi want to turn it into a great big special interest, identity politics. This is what's causing problems, identity politics. You said, oh, Chinese virus. Oh, no. You know, the Chinese government's playing us against each other. Because we said Chinese, we must be racist. And it's like, this is what they're doing. They're missing the mark. They're making it all about hatred and vitriol and division. These people need to be burned at the stake, excuse me, but they need to get out of there. They're trash. They're not looking out for your best interest. They don't have a heart for the people. They have a heart for power. And they're like, well, we want more to fight for the working man. Okay, fine. Do another bill. Get this one through. Do another bill. But that's not what it's about. It's about getting the headlines, you know, on CNN. CNN is creating monsters in politics. And MSNBC. But CNN's the classic. All over the globe. I travel around the world. There it is. Right in my face. Every airport. Fox, you know, is just terrible. And I mean, Fox is medium. They're definitely not conservative. So part of this stimulus package will be spent, planned spending to send checks to Americans on April 6th and another on May 18th. But by April 6th, hundreds of thousands of businesses will have closed and millions of people will be unemployed. Worse yet, it'll be those with the most precarious lives that can't cope. By May, by God, millions of businesses will go under. Tens of millions will be unemployed. More money is always welcome for hard-pressed Americans, but this is not about stimulus. It's about survival, and it just isn't. It's not being parceled out right, and it's not the government's job. The government needs to keep ways to keep business in practice. We live in the United People's Republic of Washington, where we have a governor who's shutting everything down because we have a case here and a case there. Here's the deal with the coronavirus. It spreads easy. It's a light flu, okay? I've listened to this stuff recently, and experts on every side say it's a light flu. It's interesting because it was released from Wuhan. Whether it was man-made or genetically engineered, I don't know. I have my opinion. It doesn't matter. But the point is it spreads easily. It's not that hard on people. But it has some kind of a genetic selection capability. It literally weeds out the weak. It weeds out those people that have immunosuppressive disorders. It weeds out the elderly that are dealing with major respiratory issues. It's really fits what Bill Gates, who's basically at the core of it. I discussed that last week, and I'm running out of time to discuss it this week. It is exactly what him and Obama have discussed about reducing world population. This is why they'd be eager about it. It's not going to take them out. It takes out the weak. It'll take out these weak populations that don't have good hygiene and so on and so forth, and their children. It's sad. It's terrible that they would think that way. This bad boy got let loose, and it got dropped. You look at like Rand Paul. I mean, you look at, he's got it. Where'd he get it? He thinks it was planted on him. People who've traveled to certain places got it, brought it back. People from Wuhan came back with it. Americans that visited came back, didn't know they had it, spread it. And they can carry it around for a long time. That's what they're saying, is you can carry this thing around and eventually give it to people that it'll kill. That's the weird thing. This is nothing like any other flu we've had. In other words, when I was reading some other information on it today, they said if we were unaware of it, what it is and what it does, we would not even see a change in flu-like deaths this year. That's how weak it is. It's just the new flu. Granted, it's, you know, we need, and they've got Plaquenil, hydroxychloroquine. Folks, they're saying, oh, the FDA goofball bureaucrat is saying, we don't know if it's safe for this practice. Hydroxychloroquine, or the trade name is Plaquenil. I happen to know about it because my wife has rheumatoid arthritis. It's been used for rheumatoid for years and decades. Literally, they say, I've heard anywhere from 50 to 70 years. Long-term studies have been done on, and it's really not that bad. It's an anti-parasitic, and I can't remember what the other part of it is. But it's used to kill malaria, you know, and then the guy's like, well, we're not sure if it's safe for this use. Well, so what? We know it's safe for any use, so get it out there. They know that if you mix hydroxychloroquine or Plaquenil with a Z-Pak, Zithromax, the antibiotic, powerful antibiotic together, it works. People taking it, they say, all we have is anecdotal evidence. You know, that means someone took it and said, it worked for me. Oh, gee, that's bad, right? People can die, but we got to have, he says, up to 18 months to study it. So what are you going to do? You're going to give half the population the placebo when you know that they have coronavirus or Wuhan virus or China virus, whatever you want to call it. You're going to give half of them half of the study population a placebo? Or, you know, that's just cruel and unusual punishment. You don't do that. You go out and you try it. You give it out. You let it go. And they're like, well, you could run out. Well, then make more. I mean, I'm tired of all this government. Trump gets this. He's got the whip. He's driving the cart. He understands. He's trying to do things quicker than we've ever done. And you've got this FDA bureaucrat. My wife and I dealt with them back in the 90s over a medication called Enbrel, Entrecept, TNFR, tumor necrosis factor receptor. Became the number one used drug in the world for rheumatoid arthritis. My wife was on the original drug study. It worked like a charm. Miraculously, she was in the highest dosage group out of five, including a placebo. It worked like a miracle. A year in, they yanked it because it didn't have an LD50. which means a lethal dose that'll kill 50% of the population. Didn't have it, so they didn't know how to test it for dangers. And all they could find is it may increase the likelihood of catching the common cold, but when you're dealing with people with immunosuppressive issues, there's no way to standardize for that. And so they shut the thing down, and we had to, you know, get involved. I had to make some people really mad. I'll just put it that way. And we got some action going, and the, you know, eventually a company out of Seattle, a new company named Immunex, took it up. Of course, it was 4 cents a share on their stock, which went to $4,000 a share. And when it was 4 cents a share, I told my wife, I had like $4,000 to my name. I'm like, we should buy that stock. You know, I was young and dumb, and yeah, well, anyway, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be flying around the world with maybe flying a little higher in the air than George Soros. No, I'm kidding. But I've been through that misery, that foolish FDA. They have to pay, Immunex had to pay $500,000 just to do the study, whether it succeeded or failed, period. $500,000 up front to the FDA, like they're a for-profit corporation. I mean, that's a lot of dough. It's just, it's a messed up system. It doesn't work. And it's bureaucratic as heck, you know? And he's got, and Trump did a right to try executive order, and the FDA said, that's just too bad. We're not going to release the drug. They don't have a right to do anything. Okay? The drug's already released, but they don't want to release it for this purpose. So I think Trump understands that. I'm really afraid that this public health crisis is soon to become the worst catastrophe in American history. Business is the machinery of our nation. You want to break us down? If the communists could do whatever they want, this is it. Shut us down. Take away our money. Take away our hope. Take away what makes us great. People don't understand small business. You'll understand it when they keep shutting this stuff down. We've got to appeal this stuff. You cannot keep sitting around going, okay, well, whatever they say makes me feel better. As long as I feel safe, I'm all in for it. It's definitely not the case. You know, they say, I've heard this stuff where, you know, here's some Twitter feeds. Can the idiots on TV stop saying, all you're being asked to do is stay home? And it says losing, da-da-da-da. The business, okay, sorry about that. Hang on. I had to have a drink. My throat got a little weird. Can the idiots on TV stop saying all you're being asked to do is stay home? Losing the business your family built over 3 generations, the job that keeps a roof over your head, the income that feeds your family is not a small sacrifice. Here's another one. If we hadn't known... This is an interesting one, too, from a doctor. If we hadn't known about a new virus and had not checked individuals with PCR tests, whatever those are, the number of total deaths due to influenza-like illness would not seem unusual this year. That's from the Stanford Epidemiology. This, my friends, I would not call good intentions. I think this is very well orchestrated, very well planned, very well timed. This is the greatest satanic attack in the history of the globe that I know of, other than the crucifixion of Christ. And I wish that the outcome was going to be just as good, but it's not. This is serious stuff. You think I'm crazy? Go back and look at all the ins and outs of that impeachment farce. They took the strongest nation in the world, the most powerful leaders, the greatest media in the history of the world, and they took and they orchestrated it all together to destroy one man and fail. Now they need the grand coup. When is the left going to wake up and say enough of this junk? This is a problem. So the second part of the current congressional plan, which they call a small business loan scheme. So Larry Kudlow, I listened to him the other night on Fox. He says it can work quickly, but even the help that's supposed to be there right now doesn't work. A friend of mine tried to use the SBA emergency grant program last week. The website was wrong. The details were wrong. It's a complete mess. Okay. Impossible. I went and looked at it for him. No way. Absolute government cluster. Impossible. In a loan, you got to apply and fill out all this stuff. You know how long loans take? Then you got to get the loan through a broker, and then the broker tacks on his commission and all this, and they say, hey, if things get bad enough, they'll just forgive all the loans. So be sure and go get a loan so you can just snake a bunch of money out of your government, kind of like Obama's Solyndra mess. Businesses are folding today, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Who has time to wait around for loans and send them into some giant bureaucracy, wait for an answer, even if it's yes, then find yourself saddled by a crippling loan for years and years and years? And what about the third party of the so-called, you know, stimulus plan, bailouts for big business? I think there's a quicker and simpler way to flatten the economic curve. Businesses have insurance policies to cover them for loss of revenue. The problem is a pandemic is not covered. If the government stood behind insurance companies and said, we're going to indemnify you for any coronavirus losses or payouts, then insurance companies could be getting the money to businesses right away, covering their revenue so they can stay afloat and keep people employed. We can incentivize insurance companies to do it quickly. And by the way, quickly means within 7 days, not in May. In addition to that, I say announce a nationwide policy of no evictions or foreclosures, residential or commercial. Of course, it would all cost a vast amount of money, which they seem to be spending like water anyway. It went from $1 trillion to $2 trillion in a couple days. Now they're talking $5 trillion to $12 trillion. Quite frankly, if they keep up the shutdowns until the end of May, according to numerous respected economists, they'll need $5 trillion. If it's August, they'll need at least $12 trillion. That's to the beginning of August. These are inconceivable amounts of public taxpayer money. Folks, what is this? What does it amount to? A total government takeover of the economy. I love this. Have you seen Antifa out there on the web and everything? Oh no, the government, they're against Antifa. Anti what? Fascism. Anti-government. They don't even know what fascism is. That's where the government owns and runs and operates businesses. It's technical. I won't get into it, but they're demanding fascism. The government needs to do this. They're just total yin-yangs. They don't even know what they're talking about. They're begging for what they say they stand against. Are we ready for a government takeover? Is this on purpose? Is this all by design? You and I both know they're going to keep hyping up the deaths and illnesses and cases, but you know, when this passes, the statistics are not going to be eye-popping. Can we afford a government takeover of business in America? Can we afford the end of America? I don't think we can. And if we can't, we should at least spend the money we can afford in ways that actually save the businesses. And there's even a better way to flatten the economic curve. And this Dr. Fauci, who's the Center for Disease Control guy I've seen on there, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. He says he's fine with overreacting. He says, I like it when people are thinking I'm overreacting because that means we're doing it just right. He's the guy that's really throwing fuel on this fire. So it's easy for him to say. He'll have a job at the end of this. And sadly, people are a little self-centered. Our ruling class and their TV mouthpieces that just keep stirring up fear and hatred and vitriol over this virus and everything else love it. Ratings are the highest they've ever been. They can afford an indefinite shutdown. Working Americans can't. The TV will keep running. More people will watch it. Working Americans will be crushed by it. The media will be propped up by it. You know the phrase, the cure is worse than the disease? That is exactly the territory that we are hurtling towards, in my opinion. You think it's just coronavirus that kills people? This total economic shutdown will kill more people. A UK study, I'm about out of time, calculated that 130,000 people died avoidably from austerity there between 2012 and 2017. The years of austerity for America to pay the cost of this shutdown will be worse. Adjusting for the size of our economy, it's over millions of deaths. A family thrown out of their home, the mom gets sick, the kids are orphans, her death won't even be counted. The dad who's been out of work for 30 years and finally got a job last month and now he's back on the scrap heap and turning back to drinking and drugs or whatever, his death won't show up in a neat little box on cable news. Well, folks, that's it. Remember, the cure is worse than the disease. Beware, we are heading for a disastrous, disastrous time. Orchestrated chaos. Take care. God bless and pray your eyes out. Thank you. Bye-bye.